Once upon a time, of course I'd have to start that way, right? A sermon about stories. Once upon a time, when I was a little girl, about 5 years old, my parents, my older brother, and I went hiking in the mountains of Appalachia, of course. And as we climbed up the mountain that day, we came across a big tree that had fallen over. It had landed on another tree and so formed kind of a bridge over a little ravine. And my brother immediately jumped on it and walked out on it and came back. And me, in my 5-year-old adventurous, determined not to be outdone self, jumped on that log and went out, determined to go farther than he did. And I went out. And then I got nervous, so I got on my hands and knees, and I crawled out a little more, and then I got nervous, and I got on my belly and scooted out. And then I got scared, and I couldn't come back. And so I was terrified and frozen in place, and I was crying, and my parents were like, "It's okay, just scoot back. And I'm like, I can't do it. So my dad made his way down in the ravine and got under the log and said, "Jump, I'll catch you." And I, of course, was like, "I can't, I'm too scared, I can't do it." And he said, "Meg, yes, you can. I will catch you. I will not let you fall." And then we kind of went back and forth a little more, but eventually I realized that there was no way out for me except to jump. And so I scooched myself up and I sat myself up, and then I just leaned forward and fell into his arms, and he caught me and he said, "I got you. I told you I will never let you fall." That is the story of my adventurous self and my supportive father. He has always been there for me, always encouraged me. And if he couldn't always prevent a fall, he never let me be alone in my pain. Now, truth be told, I'm pretty sure that that deep ravine was probably just a slope, you know, a little slope, and that, you know, the terrifying distance into my father's arms was probably only a couple feet. But that didn't matter to that 5-year-old girl. She was terrified, and her father was right there and caught her. And I never forgot it. And that story was told over and over again in my family. Stories remind us not only of events, but of why those events are important. They remind us of what we mean to each other and recreate the feelings time and time again. Sometimes when we can't explain things any other way, a story can explain things for us. As a hospice social worker, I visit patients and families in their homes and assess their situation and their needs. And to do this well, I have to get to know them a little bit very quickly. And instead of barraging them with questions, I often ask them to tell me just a little bit about themselves. And that usually leads into what we call life review. With my encouragement, people usually tell me stories about their family or where they were born, how they met their spouse, how they came to live in their home, or the story of their illness. This quickly tells me what's important to them. Sometimes I ask people, "How are you doing with all of this? Have you been through this kind of thing before?" The stories they tell me, however brief, gave me great insight into how they cope or how they have difficulty coping with these stressful and emotional times. Once I visited a woman whose husband had died just a few months prior, and it had been a sudden death right before her eyes. And now she was caring for her brother who was dying of cancer. I asked her how she was getting through the day. And she said, "I just do. You just keep on going." Then she pointed out across the porch that we were sitting at to the mountain on the other side of the valley, and she said, "See that mountain there? My family used to own and work all the land from here, clear across that valley, and all over that mountain." And then she told me a story about her great-grandfather, Billy, who was a young man when the Civil War started raging. At one point, the Confederate Army was conscripting young men like him and came to their area looking for him and any other men to fight. So her great-grandfather Billy left out on foot with his friend Joe and another boy, Jimmy, who had a bad foot. They were headed north to escape conscription, but the soldiers heard about them and started to come after them with their dogs and were gaining on them. So Billy and Joe left their friend with the bad foot behind because they felt he was slowing things down. They left him behind and they ran ahead just as a thunderstorm was coming. There was thunder and lightning, and they could hear the dogs barking and baying like crazy, and they figured the soldiers had found their friend. And so they ran on in the rain, and the rain ruined their scent, and they got away. Then the woman I was speaking to smiled, and she said, "But you know that boy with the foot caught up with them 2 nights later? He had managed to climb a tree, and the dogs went crazy trying to figure out where he had gone, and with the storm happening and everything, the soldiers just gave up and went home. And then the boy had climbed down, and he had persevered until he found them. They got to Ohio and worked at a factory until after the war, and then the three of them started their journey back home on foot again. And on their way home, her great-grandfather fell ill. He was so sick, they all thought he was going to die. So he said, "Just leave me under this berry bush and go on. Go without me." They did, but he didn't die. He lay under that berry bush for 3 days, eating and drinking nothing but those berries. And when he felt a little stronger, he got back up and he made his way home. That was the story she told me. That was how she was going to get through her difficult time, by just moving forward, by just keeping going as well as she could, by knowing, by taking each day as it comes and knowing eventually you will get where you need to be. When I was getting my master's in social work, I learned about narrative therapy. This approach recognizes the importance of our stories. Sometimes we just need to tell our stories, sometimes over and over again. The telling and retelling helps us process it, helps us wrap our brain around what happened, helps us feel understood by others so that they can support us. Sometimes we struggle to understand our own story, and narrative therapy can be used to help people remember or reframe those stories, especially those that are troubling or disturbing to us. When we retell a story from childhood and understand it from an adult point of view, we can sometimes let go of unhelpful emotions. I took piano lessons for several years when I was a girl. My last piano teacher gave lessons from her home. And when I was about 13, I arrived for my lesson, but she wasn't there. Her husband was. And he invited me to sit on the couch with him to wait. "I could give you a back rub," he said. I said, "No thanks, I'll wait outside," and I left. I couldn't put into words why I did that, but after that lesson, I told my mom I wanted to quit. I never told her why or what happened, and I was ashamed and embarrassed, even though I knew I hadn't done anything wrong. I knew something was wrong, and I didn't really understand it, but I felt bad about it. And I didn't really think about that story too much going forward. You know, just sometimes when something weird would happen, I'd kind of be reminded of that. But as an adult, something came up and I started telling that story, and my feelings shifted from that embarrassed, ashamed place to anger. I mean, how dare that man do that to me? How dare he come on to an innocent girl? How dare he? And all those years, I had that bad feeling about that. But I found healing in the retelling and a new understanding of what had happened. In the retelling, I felt proud. I felt proud that I had done what I needed to do to protect myself, that I had confidence to rebuff him. And I felt grateful to my parents for raising me to have that confidence, to know that my body was my own and that I could decide what was okay or not. That story totally changed for me as I retold it as an adult. Brené Brown is a research professor at the University of Houston College of Social Work, and in her book, Rising Strong, The Reckoning, The Rumble, The Revolution, which is just a great title to the book, she talks about the power of what I call micro stories that we tell ourselves every day. Her example is that her husband walks into a kitchen, opens the refrigerator and says, "There's nothing to eat in this house." And does this sound familiar? Anyways, so, and she says, her reaction is to snap and become angry. And she says, "I'm doing the best I can. You can shop too." And she took his words and made a little story about how she's a bad wife and mother who doesn't take care of her family, and then how her husband isn't a good husband because he's making her feel bad for not doing a good job. That is a lot of story for one little phrase. But we do it all the time, don't we? Somebody says something and it just kind of hits a button and triggers something, and it's a whole little story you got going on in your head. And we interpret the world around us to fit the narrative that we're already thinking about. I believe that this very thing happens on a macro level too. This is pretty obvious in our current political conversation. That often is not much conversation, right? To some, our current federal leadership is a story of overcoming long odds, standing up for law and order, and guarding and protecting an America that has felt scary. To others, the election and actions afterwards have been a story of frightening changes, of rash decisions, of hate and fear. For some, it reminds them of stories of decades past and brings up feelings of anxiousness or rebellion. Is it any wonder that we refer to every scandal as Whatevergate? These scandals remind us of that first shocking story of betrayal and deviousness. And so it is with many stories of our nation. They remind us of other times in our history and who you were, where you were, your perspective at that time shapes how you think about that story. It shapes how you understand our current realities. So many feelings, so many stories. And the only way to really understand each other is to listen to each other. I believe that if we can listen to not just opinions, but to the story that informs that opinion, we can communicate with each other better. We don't change minds by posting memes on social media. We change minds by listening and understanding and making ourselves understood. To take an example from a while back, I was very opposed to the Iraq War. But I worked in a very conservative environment in that time. And when conversations about that war became uncomfortable for me to remain silent in, I found that instead of just arguing with my opinions and logic, I told them about learning about Todd's nephew who was going over there. He was in the army, and I told them how sweet and kind Andrew is and how he signed up for the military to make a difference. And how I feared for him, and how I was just sick because I wasn't sure that the country he was risking his life for had really gotten involved for the right reasons, or had done all they could to avoid bloodshed in the first place. That usually changed the conversation, because that was a perspective that others could understand with their hearts. They could understand where my concern was coming from, and we could talk about that together and create a different story together. And the same is true right now. All Americans want to be able to tell a story of America as a righteous nation that stands for truth and justice. We love to tell stories of courage, tenacity, and success against all odds. We want to be thought of as a nation that is friendly and big-hearted. We want to think of America as heroic and strong, because really, we want to think of ourselves that way. The story of our nation is also the story of our own selves. So, what's your story? Do you have a story that defines some facet of yourself? Do you have a story that is painful and you need to rewrite or retell it in some way? We can change a story of us from victim to survivor to advocate or even warrior. We can look at the story of our life so far and say, you know what? I'm going to insert a plot twist here and make things different for ourselves. What are your stories about your family, about your community, about your world? We are close to the time of Passover and Easter. Stories of persecution, of violence and death, of resurrection and redemption. Of course, we understand these stories differently according to our own experience, understanding, and faith. But at their core, the intention of these stories are to tell about courage and love and faith and hope. Always hope. Because as long as there is a story to be told, there is still hope.